Digging deeper with Money Control, a Money Control exclusive.
It's Independence Week in India, and we're taking a look at travel as an expression of freedom. And why not? Travel allows us freedom to see the world, absorb what we love about it, and learn from what we don't. And the freedom to travel, when we feel like it, is probably right up there on everyone's list as a definition, if not a significant marker of happiness. My name is Rakesh, and you're listening to Money Control. In our ongoing series leading up to Independence Day, we are going to be taking a deeper look at the role of money in your travel and what is the best way to take it with you so you aren't stranded with empty pockets at the top of the Eiffel Tower. By the way, pro tip, the lift is free when you go down the Eiffel Tower, but getting to the top costs 14 euros or thereabouts. Also, pro tip number two, the French pronounce Eiffel as Eiffel. Good luck with that. But we are talking about money today. So let's look at the many ways you can take your money with you. There are limits to how much cash an individual can carry, there are challenges with forex value, there are issues with your Indian cards when you're traveling abroad. There are quite a few hoops you'll be forced to jump through if you saunter off unprepared to Paris or Thailand or Bali or the US away. So, let's get started.
The freedom to not worry when traveling abroad. An exclusive on Money Control.
Whether you plan to travel for tourism, studies or business, there is a limit on the amount of money you can take with you. Now, the limits on the amount of cash we can carry on us when traveling to foreign countries have been relaxed over time. These limits are set by the Reserve Bank of India. In 2018, Indians are allowed to carry up to $10,000 for holidays and up to $250,000 for business purposes. In officialese, those are the amounts, quote-unquote, a resident individual can remit or spend foreign exchange freely, i.e. without any approval. Unquote. For holidaying abroad, whether you want to catch the scantily clad ladies at the Moulin Rouge with your parents while pretending to not be awkward, or going all the way to Machu Picchu, only to have your view obscured by the clouds, you're going to need some cash in hand. For hotel rooms, for water bottles, for snacks, or the visit to an Indian restaurant even in the middle of Paris that serves passable vegetarian fare. Shopping for trinkets, tester perfumes, or for Louis Vuitton. You know, so we can share our holidays on Facebook, because if that's not the point of a holiday, what is? Anyway, let's dive into the details a little bit. How much cash can we actually carry on our person? Well, that depends on why you are headed abroad, and we'll cover these various categories in just a bit of detail without getting too dense. According to RBI regulations, if holidaying, an individual can draw foreign exchange up to $10,000 in a year for one or more private visits abroad. Wait, $10,000 per year? Yes, per year. RBI guidelines state that an individual traveling to countries other than Iraq, Libya, Iran, Russia, and other Commonwealth nations can carry only $3,000 per trip in cash. The balance amount can be carried in, as per the central bank, in the form of store value cards, traveler's check, or banker's draft, unquote. For your information, there are 53 Commonwealth countries. By today's exchange rates, $3,000 works out to just over 2 lakh rupees. This limit was earlier just $2,000, but was increased in 2010. $10,000 going by today's value works out approximately to 6.8 lakh rupees. According to the RBI's website, individuals traveling to the countries I just named, including the 53 Commonwealth nations, can take up to $250,000 with them in the form of currency notes or coins. That's a lot of coins to carry. The $250,000 limit applies to those who are traveling for the Hajj as well. Now, on the other hand, if you're heading out of the country on business travel, the legal kind, not so much the Mallya Choksi Modi kind, say to a conference or a training course, the Reserve Bank allows you to carry up to $25,000 in foreign exchange. If you're traveling to take up a job outside India, the RBI's rules allow you to take up to $100,000 with you. If you're a student going to study outside India, you're allowed by the Reserve Bank to draw up to $100,000 per academic year. This limit covers nearly all your student expenses like tuition fees, study material, etc. If you need more than that amount, you will need to provide an estimate from that institute you are studying in, and you should also give me the name of that institute because, dear God, that's expensive. Let's get a bit serious for a minute. If someone's traveling abroad for medical treatment, they too are allowed to draw up to $100,000 after declaring the essential details. If you want to draw a little more than that, the authorities will require an estimate from the doctor or the hospital. A further $25,000 is allowed as a maintenance expense. If you're emigrating to a foreign country, well, I have to clarify here, this is a mistake we all make all too often. Emigrate, that is E-M-I-G-R-A-T-E, is to move from your present country. Immigrate is when you move into another country. For example, Donald Trump dislikes immigrants, that is the I-M-M sort. But then again, he also dislikes emigrants. Another immigrant in the news, Madonna. She was in the news last week for moving to Portugal. Anyway, not to digress. According to a report on the Business Standard, in such a scenario, the RBI allows you to withdraw foreign exchange for emigration facilities up to $100,000 based on self-declaration or an amount prescribed by the country of emigration, unquote. There's also another scheme called the Liberalized Remittance Scheme, or LRS, which allows people to draw $250,000 for purposes of investment or to pay off loans. So that's about the most common types of transactions involving money when traveling out of India. But we are more concerned about our own travel. So keep an eye on the $3,000 limit, as well as the provision for carrying more in the form of forex value cards, traveler's check, or banker's draft. Yes, you did hear me say it. Traveler's checks are still a thing. Well, yes and no. These were useful back in the day when plastic money wasn't so widespread. We are talking pre-internet, pre-ATM times. Traveler's checks are pre-printed fixed amount checks that were used in lieu of cash when traveling abroad. Because of the pre-assigned value, they never bounced. The bank that issued traveler's checks provided security against lost or stolen checks. These are accepted in a lot fewer places now and have been replaced to a large extent by everyone's favorite way to carry money abroad, the travel money card, or what we in India call the Forex card. Forex cards are the easiest way to carry your money abroad. First, you're probably wondering, what about your own debit or credit card? Well, you can use them, but your Indian credit or debit card will most likely be charged for every swipe. Yes, every swipe of your card will be charged a conversion fee. What this means is your Indian credit card is free to use within the country, but when used outside the country, you will pay your bill in the currency of the place you swipe the card in. For every such transaction, a conversion fee is applied, which is usually around 1-2% on the foreign currency exchange. Then there is the foreign transaction fee. That is what you pay the network, like Visa or MasterCard, for using the card in a foreign location. This is usually between 1.5% and 3% of the transaction value. Obviously, 3% added to every time you swipe your HDFC or ICICI or SBI credit card when in Europe could quickly add up to quite a lot. The same also obviously applies to your debit cards as well. For example, say you spend 50 euros at the champagne bar on the third floor of the Eiffel Tower and swipe your Indian card. You could end up paying the conversion fee of around 3% or the foreign transaction fee of 3% or both, depending on your card and bank. So that champagne was not just 50 euros. The easiest way of avoiding extra credit fees when you make payments abroad is to get yourself a Forex card. Forex cards allow us to add, store, and transfer currency electronically when traveling abroad. They can also be used as ATM cards should you ever feel the need to withdraw foreign currency. Essentially, Forex cards are like debit cards and are generally provided by either Visa or MasterCard, which makes them safe and acceptable for payments all over the globe. Now here is the interesting part. Forex cards are of two main types, multi-currency and single currency. The names are pretty self-explanatory. On a single currency Forex card, you can load one foreign currency, like the USD, when you're going stateside. Multi-currency cards are useful when traveling to Europe or Southeast Asia. For example, you can add, say, 2 lakh rupees to your card and split that into euros, the Swedish krona, and the British pound. And most of these cards allow you to transfer the money from one currency to another, so you're never stuck. Another area of concern is currency fluctuation. One day the rupee is 68 to a dollar, 2 days later it is 69.5. Fortunately, Forex cards fix the exchange rate to the value of the currency on the day you buy the card. If you load 100 American dollars in the card, the value will remain 100 American dollars no matter the fluctuations in the market. And mercifully, these cards can automatically transact in local currency. And since these are like debit cards, you can make online purchases even when you're on the move. Spotted a good deal on Amazon UK while traveling from London to Bristol? Well, buy it in the local currency and have it shipped. Now, I don't want to come off sounding like an advert for Forex cards, but rest assured, I am not shilling for them. They're clearly a great option when traveling outside the country. Having used them, I can vouch for them. The best part, when you return home, any money lying unused can be encashed. That's a pretty nifty deal, if you ask me. Heck, there's a reason so many popular YouTubers and travel bloggers swear by Forex cards when heading abroad. That and working part-time when traveling. But we Indians aren't really into working when vacationing, are we? Coming to portioning your expenses when traveling out of India. Some estimates indicate that a large chunk of your expenses are usually cashless in nature. Hotels, food, shopping and tickets can be paid for through your card. That accounts for nearly 70% of travel expenditure. So the smart thing would be to carry 30% of your expenses in cash. The Financial Express recommends, and I quote, "Ideally, this amount should be anywhere between 20 and 30% of the overall currency that you're carrying abroad. But that largely depends on your itinerary. whether or not the destination you're traveling to is digital transaction friendly and make your estimations accordingly. Unquote. As more than one social media travel expert put it, only carry as much cash as you're okay losing. So to wind up this travel segment, if you want to feel free and enjoy your travel as you soak in the sights, sounds and experiences of the world, do these four things before you set off to ensure a hassle-free trip. First, get a prepaid Forex card. Speaking of Forex, here's some extra advice. Do not exchange currency at airports. The British newspaper Telegraph noted, and I quote, "Airport outlets consistently offer the worst rates for British travellers. It follows the same theory as buying fast food at a festival." Ian Stratford-Taylor, who is the CEO of FairFX, told the Telegraph that some of the exchange rates are nothing short of extortionate. And in the process, he also told me that extortionate is a really good word. Thank you, Ian. Second, carry enough cash. Remember, only as much as you're okay to lose, but no more than 30%. And when settling bills, go local. If you're offered the choice of paying in the local currency, opt for the local currency. Third, carry an international debit or credit card, but use it only as an emergency backup. And try not to draw cash from a credit card when traveling abroad. Credit cards are debt traps. Number four, never keep all your money and cards in one place, man. Spread them around so that you will never lose them all at once. I know this is basic, but common sense is usually sacrificed at the altar of luggage packing. So go forth and see the world, intrepid wanderer. Tick off that bucket list and may your Facebook and Instagram photographs fill your friends with envy and not dent your pocket that much. And yes, don't get ripped off. Happy travels.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.